here's two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Xavier Will. Scott Goble. RX Muscle Australia proudly presents Aussie Muscle Radio. Yeah!
Welcome to another episode of Aussie Muscle Radio, the 8th of April 2014. I'm Xavier Will, your host, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host of the Patreon Crime, Scott Goble. Scotty, how are we doing this week?
Yeah, doing all right, mate. Had a busy weekend of running around with mass seminars and all sorts of other things. Went to the footy last night, but yeah, doing well.
Very nice. So you went to see Essendon, who was it? Essendon and Kangaroos? Carlton.
Yeah, very, very one-sided game. My girlfriend's a Carlton supporter, and it was pretty much over after quarter time.
She wouldn't have been happy then, I imagine.
Yeah, Tony Doherty rocked up at quarter time. And it was just sort of like, yeah. And he left at three-quarter time.
Yeah, Tony's a Carlton supporter, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. Jeez, that wouldn't have been fun for you.
No, it was just a massacre.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty. But, yeah, so while you was obviously, you know, working weekend, you got to see the footy as well, but... I was, I had a pretty relaxing one, which was good. Actually, it's more like, like meeting some relatives that I haven't met and stuff like that. So it was, it was good. Interesting, though. But we'll move on. We'll talk about, just later on in the show, we've got Benny Townsend, who did the pro qualifier and was up against you, Scotty.
Yeah.
He talks a bit about that and what he's going to be doing in the future and stuff. So that was actually a really good interview. And we also interviewed Hungry Hato, Hayden Wilson. Who he's actually doing, his own podcast and stuff, which I didn't actually know, and he's had some really good guests like, Leighton Norton, Charles Poliquin and stuff like that. So he's doing his own podcast, and we talk a little bit about that and talk about his eating feats and all that kind of stuff. And also we talked about him working for Tony as well.
I'll be fascinated to hear that.
Yes.
Fascinated. He's sitting in the same room as me right now.
Okay. So you can hear everything that's going on?
Yeah.
Cool. No, that was a really good interview, though, and it was great having him on
really
as well.
Fantastic interview, though.
But let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the bodybuilding scene. We didn't actually mention, I don't know if Tony's in the same room as well, but he's going to be emceeing the 2014 Arnold Classic Brazil, which is something we forgot to mention the other week on the show, but, I mean, that's a pretty big deal. He's going to be doing, he's going to be emceeing he emceed the Shrew Classic, I think it was last year. And, he obviously does the MC work for the Australian Pro Show, which is going to be the Arnold Classic Australia next year. And now he's doing it for the Arnold Brazil. So Tony's really getting out there, and he's becoming, like the Bob Chicarellos and the, Sean Race, who MCs a lot of comps, Lonnie Teeper. He's up there with those guys now.
Yeah, he's done a New York Pro Show as well when he was really young.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, you can ask me about that. It was when Sonny Schmidt was competing. I think they'd been to the Niagara Falls. I don't think he did the Niagara Falls, but I know he emceed a New York show, and he actually got some good reviews. Tony's obviously a world-class MC, so it's not surprising. It gives him an opportunity to perform in front of all those Arnold people and show him, I guess, exactly what he's got. So he'll do it well. It's a little bit strange. What's their native language? Is it some sort of Spanish dialect, Brazilian?
I'm not sure, to be honest. Yeah, I don't know if it's a Spanish dialect or what it is, but I know it's not English, but they do have, I think a large portion of the population do speak English, so I'm not sure what kind of portion, but I know there is English spoken there, so I know for a fact it's not the primary language, but do you reckon Tony's going to be putting his hand up for more of these gigs, or is it kind of just going to be, those few shows and that's it?
It depends on just how busy he is, I suppose, and how much he can fit in. And Tony's pretty ambitious. If Bob Chicarillo went down, what do you think Tony would say if Jim Mannion called him up and said, can you do the Olympia?
I think he'd probably say yes.
He would be on that stage so fast. I think Tony wouldn't turn down any opportunity that would see him sort of progress forward with that sort of career and his position with the IFBB.
Yeah, I'd love to see actually someone else emceeing the Olympia. I mean, Bob's good, but yeah, I don't know. I'd like to see Tony doing it more so than Bob, to be honest. And I'd prefer a few guys over Bob, like Lonnie Teeper. I'd prefer over Bob. And I mean, what's your opinions on Bob Chicarello as an MC?
Oh, look, I think he's great. I think I'd prefer him to Lonnie Teeper and Sean Ray. So, I think he keeps the show moving along really well, and I think he's got a good rapport with a lot of the competitors and judges and everyone else. So,
he does a great job, but I do prefer Lonnie Teeper and Tony if I had to pick, but definitely not. I wouldn't prefer Sean Ray. So,
yeah, no, I'd love to see Tony do the Olympia. I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, bloody hell. But I actually did listen to Bob Chicarello and, well, it's actually Sean Ray's radio show, MD Radio, because someone was telling me that he said that Sean Roden was competing in the Arnold Classic Brazil. So I thought, okay, I'll go over and have a listen to it. And I can actually bear it when Bob Chicarello is on there as well. So I listened to that show, and Sean Ray kind of alluded that Sean Roden, he said he's on the competitors list for the Arnold Brazil. I went out there and I tried to find this competitors list that he's talking about, and I could not find it absolutely anywhere. I had a look on the official website. I had a look on the Arnold America website, on the Arnold Brazil website. Had a look on some forums. Couldn't see any talk of it. Couldn't see it anywhere. So I'm not sure if he's just looking at the Arnold Classic, you know, original list or what it was. But he did obviously see it somewhere and say he was competing, but I haven't seen this yet. You know, Sean Roden may have, you know, thrown his hat in the ring at the last minute, because, you know, we was talking before, Scotty, and we were saying that Sean Roden did say he's going to do, you know, most of the comps this year or every comp this year, and he's going to do, you know, just a heap of shows, and I suppose just make it a year where he, you know, racks up some money and some titles and really, I suppose, gets his name out there even more so and just more regularly. But it doesn't seem like, I mean, from what I've heard and from hearing what Chris Aceto said a few weeks ago on Heavy Muscle Radio, who's his trainer, it doesn't sound like that's actually going to be the case.
Yeah, I think you've summed it up perfectly there. I agree. I think from what Chris Aceto said, that Sean Roden isn't competing, and Sean Ray probably was just a little bit confused, because I think Roden specifically said he was going to do all the Arnold Classics this year, early on in the piece, and his goal was to win them all. Well, he's already sort of lost in Columbus, so maybe that kind of soured the experience for him, and he decided, no, I'd be better off, you know, resting and growing and giving myself a good shot at an Olympia and a Arnold Europe or something like that. So, as far as I know, Roden's not in, but look, if he does jump in there, it's just one more quality physique to add into the mix.
Yeah, and Aceto was saying that basically it sounded like that Sean Roden kind of bit off more than he can chew. Like, after the Arnold Classic in Columbus, he's kind of like, oh, crap, like, if I've got to do, you know, show after show, I'm going to get pretty burnt out. So it's probably a wise decision for him to skip this, maybe, and just concentrate on a few of the other shows and maybe Olympia and stuff.
But, yeah, with so many shows post-Olympia, there's a lot of money to be made there. So if I was Sean Roden, I mean, he's obviously qualified already. I'd probably kick back and try and have a semi-decent off-season and put on a little size and, really do some damage at the Olympia and the post-Olympia shows.
Yeah. I mean, when Bob and Sean Ray were talking about it, they were basically saying that Sean Roden was like, you know, a lock to win. You know, if he was doing that show, they were saying he's a lock. And, I mean, after what we saw in Australia, we saw Sean Roden up against William Bonac. And William Bonac's in that Arnold Brazil. And obviously we've got Lionel Baiki, and we've got Steve Kluklo, and Juan Morel, and John De La Rosa. Like, there's a lot of good guys. I think William Bonac would probably be, and maybe Lionel Baiki if he came in really on, would be the only ones who would really have a chance of beating him. But, I mean, I thought, you know, if I was judging the Australian Pro Show, I would have had it very, very close between William Bonac and Sean Roden. So I wouldn't have said it was a lock by any means.
Yeah, no, nothing's a lock, I guess. You know, if Sean was a little bit off in Australia, then Bonac would have beaten him for sure. But, yeah, I think he is structurally superior to Bonac. And, you know, he's got the weight of those past Olympia placings behind him. He'd be certainly a strong favourite. So, if he was in the lineup, that's where my money would be going.
Yeah, I totally agree. But I want to talk about this, Scotty. I brought it up to you before we just started this radio show. And it's a pretty interesting story, because we've always heard, you know, we're on like Bigger, Stronger, Faster. And, you know, I suppose that's a doco movie type thing. But where, you know, they say, you know, the testing would never be done on steroids and all that type of stuff. The studies won't be done because it's unethical and whatnot. But there's actually an NBA owner called Mark Cuban who owns the Dallas Mavericks, and he's a guy who's got like the most fines out of any owner in American sports, and he's very controversial, and you know, he kind of just says whatever he thinks, and he's got, you know, plenty of money to take those fines. But he's actually funding a study for growth hormone within the NBA, because he, you know, it's by the sounds of it, he wants it to, you know, work on, you know, to work for injuries and stuff like that, and see the effects on it, and, you know, see how safe it is, I suppose. But obviously, that's something you probably wouldn't be able to test long term. But yeah, he's actually putting, I think, millions of dollars into this study to test the growth hormone. I mean, what do you think about this, Scotty? I think it's something that's actually, you know, if it makes sense and it works, I mean, it makes sense to kind of do it.
Yeah, I think it's brilliant. I mean, growth hormone is being prescribed all over the world as an anti-aging medication. So why not investigate its properties as an injury prevention aid or a rehabilitation aid as well? I'm not sure what the dosing protocols will be, but if they're at a level where it's improving rehabilitation from injuries without any detrimental effects to health, then how do you argue against it, you know? And if it is causing detrimental effects to health, then all right, great. We know that, and you obviously take that risk if you administer it to yourself. So, the more knowledge we've got, the better, as far as I'm concerned. Regardless of which way the study goes, it can only be a good thing, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and it's a 2-year study, so it's not something that's it is working on injuries, like people with injuries. So it's going to be interesting to see what comes of it. And he's putting a lot of money up for it. And you know, from what I've heard, he's got hundreds of millions of dollars, this guy. So he's, you know, putting his money into it, and I think it's a good thing because you know, he's obviously focusing on injuries and stuff like that. But do you think that will lead to something, you know, if it is kind of approved and they just say they went ahead with it and that was kind of a legal thing within the NBA or within a few other sports, do you think that will just lead to, you know, players getting upset and maybe saying, well, that's not fair, he's able to do that, when, you know, a perfectly healthy guy isn't able to actually do that, and if they're getting some other benefits from it as well?
Yeah, potentially. It's hard to know how they could use it. Because like you say, if it's just sort of a rehabilitation phase for a knee or something like that, but they can build extra upper body strength at the same time, then maybe they've got an advantage beyond that of the healthy individual. I don't know quite how they would, you know, the policies would evolve from there. But I'm still all for being armed with as much information as possible.
Yeah, exactly. I'd say just put them all on one IU a day and just let them be happy if they want to do it. Moving on, Scotty, I just want to mention that Adam John Waite, who I competed against at FedEx, he came second to me, but he was in much better condition, I must say, and it was very impressive. He's just been picked up by International Protein as a sponsored athlete, so I want to say congratulations to him. And he's actually a diabetic who he kind of struggled at the start of his diet, he was telling me on Facebook, maintaining a healthy blood sugar level, but he's able to, he told me at the end of it, he's able to fix that and sort it all out and came in phenomenal condition. So that's a massive credit to him. And I don't know if you know anyone with diabetes, Scott, that competes and kind of struggles with that.
Not in the current era. I bet there's someone out there. I bet there's probably a few competitors out there. But I know Tim Belknap, back in the day, was one of the first diabetic competitors out there. So, it certainly can be done, but it's obviously a balancing act with your meds and blood sugar levels and everything else. But, it certainly didn't affect his conditioning because he was sliced.
Exactly. So he was, in ridiculous condition. And, he basically, I think he checks his blood sugar after every meal. So, you know, we kind of take it for granted, us, you know, being quite, you know, quite good with our blood sugar levels, but he has to check after every meal. So I just want to say congratulations to him on that sponsorship. But on that note, Scotty, we're going to head to a break and we'll record our bodybuilding yes or no and ask Scotty segment just after this.
International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are five key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shopfronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at massnutrition.com.au.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never, ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them, because they challenge the way people make them think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at MyMuscleChef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm your host, Dave Wills, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Scott Goble, and we're here for his Ask Scotty segment and bodybuilding, yes or no. Scotty, are we ready?
We're ready.
Okay, start with bodybuilding, yes or no. We've got two here. Will the 2015 Arnold Classic Australia have the best lineup of bodybuilders ever on an Australian stage?
Obviously very hard to answer. You would think because it's an Arnold Classic and there's going to be more prize money up for grabs that it will be very, very similar to the Arnold Classic Columbus lineup. The only people that won't come will be those that have some sort of visa or travel issues. So, having said that, it would probably be a pretty safe bet to say yes, it would. But you have to remember that we had some pretty spectacular lineups back in the day in 2004 and 2006. It was just last year that the Arnold Classic was kind of disappointing with, you know, Dexter and Ben and but filling the top two. I can't even remember third place and down, but it was, you know, it wasn't as good as previous Australian lineup. So, it all depends on who wins that Columbus show. But I would say the chances are, yes, it'll be the best show yet on Australian soil.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't think we'll have, like, a Dennis Wolf, like, skipping it. Like, if it was an Arnold Classic Australia this year, I think we would have seen Dennis Wolf out here competing. So, I think it might change some guys' minds. And obviously, with a little bit extra prize money, too, that's a big incentive. So, I think we're going to see, you know, it's going to be dependent on the Arnold Classic lineup in Columbus, but I think, yeah, we'll see a great lineup out here in Australia. Now, Scotty, next question. Intra-workout nutrition, yes or no?
Yes, absolutely. I see no reason why you shouldn't be drip-feeding your muscles exactly what they need while you train. I can't really think of any potential downsides to it. It may be a case of it only gives you a 1 or 2% advantage, like increase in protein synthesis or, you know, maintenance of blood sugar levels, energy, things like that. It may not be a massive, massive advantage. But if done correctly, I can see absolutely no negative to it. So, yes, I'm a fan of intra-workout nutrition.
Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about, let's go into our Ask Scotty segment. First question, what's your opinion on negative reps to not only increase strength, but also hypertrophy through getting stronger?
A negative only rep. Look, I rarely use them. In fact, I don't really use them at all on myself because I never have a spotter, and a spotter or multiple spotters are essential for negative only reps. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think the rewards are worth the risks. I mean, you're going to have to use super maximal loads or loads that you can't handle concentrically in order to really get something out of it. That's a lot of stress and strain to be putting on the connective tissue. It's certainly a very, very high-intensity way of training. So I would think if you're going to use negative reps, you use them very, very sparingly. And in all honesty, I don't think they're a necessity at all.
Yeah, fair enough. Next question, should fats be avoided pre and post-workout?
I would have, in the past, I would have said yes. I'm not so sure anymore. In fact, I mean, it just depends on your dieting protocol. You can certainly ingest, my breakfast is generally protein and fats, and then I train. And I feel fantastic training that way. I mean, most of what you're burning throughout your workout is muscle glycogen. It's not actually circulating blood sugars, so it's not going to have a massive negative impact on your training intensity, assuming you have enough stored glycogen, which most of us would. And even post-workout, look, as a general rule, I'll be having carbs and protein and keeping the fats to a minimum, but at certain stages throughout my diet, I was having protein and fats post-workout, elevate my insulin sensitivity, just sort of keep my body in that fat burning mode, and then relying on carbs later on in the day to replenish the glycogen. I mean, the thing is, if you're maintaining great insulin sensitivity post-workout, you're kind of, I guess, extending that anabolic window or that window of opportunity, which people talk about, which is in itself is a bit of a crock of shit. But basically, you're maintaining insulin sensitivity, so the carbs you have later on in the day are still likely to be stored as glycogen. So, they're not a bad thing. You can definitely have fats, but you've got to look at the big picture of what you're trying to achieve and what the rest of your nutritional plan is made up of.
Yeah, so it basically, if you're having a high carb source, post-workout, you wouldn't include a heap of fats for that, is what you're saying.
I wouldn't. But it depends on the individual. Potentially, I could include some fats in there just because it might actually slow down the digestion of the carbohydrates, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. And even pre-workout, I know John Meadows in particular is a fan of a little bit of fats pre-workout just because it's going to prevent a massive insulin response, and the last thing you want is to have a blood sugar crash or a bit of a hypo mid-workout. So by including a little bit of fats with the carbohydrate source, you're basically going to reduce the risk of that happening. So there are circumstances where I would do it, but typically, no, you're right. I'd have a pretty high carb source, clean carbs and protein, I guess.
Yeah, I remember hearing John Meadows actually talk about that a bit. I think he said he'd have 5 grams of coconut oil or something like that, or like a teaspoon or tablespoon of coconut oil. So he's not having a crazy amount, you know what I mean? Like, I know people that will, you know, go on it, just eat crap straight after training and stuff and then wonder why they get fat and they eat clean most of the rest of the time or whatever. But it's, I think around workouts and stuff, if you're eating very badly, then I think that's probably not the best time to eat poorly. I think that's probably the most important time to, like you said, there is different theories, you know, if you do include, you know, fats or if you have carbs around there. I don't think either are wrong. I think both have benefits and I suppose, you know, negatives. But, I think you're spot on with what you said, Scotty, and I totally agree with it. So that's it. That's it for your segment this week, Scotty. I encourage everyone to stay tuned for our interviews of a week with Adam Browner and also Hungry Hato, Hayden Wilson. So stay tuned for them, and then Michael Galley and I will be back to wrap up the show. Back in 2 minutes.
Editor-in-chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
Need that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and aesthetics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip.
International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are five key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shop fronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. This week I'm joined by a man who's competed in the IFBB FedEx Pro Qualifier the past 2 years, and he's joining us today, Benny Townsend. Benny, welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio.
Hey, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure, mate. Now, you competed, like I said, for the second year in a row in the Pro Qualifier at FedEx. Obviously, it's, you know, last year was a absolutely awesome lineup, and this year was not exception as well. Josh Leonardo, it's taking it out, and you're up against Andy Crawford and Scott Goble as well. I mean, what was it like being up against those guys and battling it out?
Yeah, when I saw there was only four of us, I knew it was going to be really close. I thought it could have gone either way, but then pretty much when I saw Josh backstage, I knew, you know, then and there, I never seen someone look like that in quite a long time. He sort of blew me away with his size and everything like that, so I thought, yeah, it's going to be close, but then I saw Josh, and I'm pretty realistic, you know. I thought, wow, that's professional right there.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you made some massive improvements, so you put yourself right up in there in the mix with, obviously, with Scott and everyone. I mean, how did it feel? Like, did you know, while he's on stage, you had made those improvements? Did you know you were a lot better?
Well, it wasn't really till I sort of got closer towards the prep. People was, you know, approaching me in the gym and saying, shit, what the hell have you done? You know, you look like a different person this season. And I didn't really take too much notice. I don't really listen to anyone bar the guy who preps me for my show. But, I guess when I was sort of looked in the mirror before hopping on stage, I thought to myself, okay, that's pretty different to last year. That'll do.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's got to be a pretty good feeling as well. Yeah. Now, you was telling me before the interview, you actually did a much shorter prep. Like, it was, you know, compared to in the past, it was only about half the length. Do you think in the end that actually almost helped you, or maybe you need something a little bit longer or something in between those two times? Because you did a much shorter prep, and you came in, like I said, you made huge improvements, and you was not only better in terms of size that you put on, but you seemed like your conditioning was better as well.
Yeah, it was like I was telling you earlier, like Christmas time, I had no intentions of competing. I was just relaxing. I told a few people I'd have a break for a while, just let the body rest and maybe have a year or two off. And it came to sort of the 10-week out mark, and I'm just training with a few boys in the gym, and Luke Tim said something, and my mate Trev said, you know, pretty much said, oh, you've obviously started dieting. And I said, no, I haven't. I'm just eating junk and whatever. And they said, well, you start dieting now. It's time to do the pro qualifier. And I said, no, I'm not really ready. I don't think I can do it. And they said, just go home and have a think about it for a day or two. So I sort of went home, and in the back of my mind, I sort of started to clean the diet up for a week or two, just thinking about it. Still hadn't done any cardio or wasn't eating overly strict. And then I sort of, just on 8 weeks out, I woke up and, started my cardio, and it just felt right to start then. And it all sort of fell into place. I only lost about 5 kilo to do the show. And it was good. I came in, pretty much came in about a week out. I was pretty much ready to go. So I timed it perfectly. I think I might do in the next time, maybe 10 weeks is about right. But I pushed it a little bit. I had to go quite hard from 4 weeks out with the diet and the cardio for a week or two, just to get a little bit ahead in condition. And it all worked really well. We just sort of had a look every week, and my coach and mate Trev, who prepped me for that, we just had a look every week, and he'd say yes or no, you know, yep, you're good, you're tighter, and I grew a little bit as we went, so that was good.
Yeah, and you said Trev prepped you for the show. Did he prep you last year, or is this just the first time?
Last year I did it all myself, actually. That was a big mistake I made. Too young, without, not enough experience, and that's how I sort of stuffed up the last few weeks of last season's prep. So I knew this, which, I was pretty disheartened about, but I knew I had to find someone. And Trev's a good, really close mate of mine, and he was really keen to help me. And he's been really good. He followed me the whole way and helped out till the last minute. And I said, all I want to do is nail my condition and the rest will fall into place. And he said, don't worry, we'll nail your condition. I said, okay, great. And that's sort of what happened. So I've got to thank him a lot for that.
Yep. So what was your kind of, I suppose, like, what's the prep? Like, does he have certain, like, tricks, tips and tricks and stuff that he does in terms of, like, diet and training or anything like that? Or is it all pretty much...
I sort of do my own diet. We do very simple things. I think it's definitely the last week. The deplete and load, I've always had trouble just getting that last week or two sorted, and that's where he came into play and helped me nail that and get the condition right. So that's where I had no experience with, and that's pretty much the last 2 weeks was crucial, where he sort of helped me with that. It's not easy to get it all right.
And it helps as well having, like, a second set of eyes where someone can tell you, you need to ramp things up a bit, or you need to, you're in condition already, like, just chill out with the diet and stuff. So, obviously, like, having someone that you can trust is going to, give you an honest opinion, because sometimes when you've just got your mates around you, they'll tell you, you look awesome, and then you think, maybe I'm getting too hard too quick, and you back off, and then you find you're out of condition. So, do you find that's, part of it? It's a massive help?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I remember we came to about, I think it was around 3 weeks out, and I said, mate, I don't really feel that well. I nearly fell off the treadmill today doing cardio. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, I feel like I've burnt out or I've hit the wall or something. He said, have you been having a refeed cheat meal once a week? I said, no, I decided just to punish myself for this prep and have no cheat meals. And he nearly slapped me and said, what are you doing, you idiot? And so what I did, I went home and I had a big cheat meal. Felt great, and metabolism went through the roof again. It was just crazy, and I had another one the following week, and I put on a few kilos of muscle in 2 weeks. And he basically said, "Look what happens. You always got to have your refeed meals and that sort of thing." So that was interesting. I thought by going harder would be better, but it didn't. It worked against me, and
Yeah, that happens sometimes. Sometimes, like, there's guys out there that, you know, don't want to work hard enough, and there's guys out there that, that want to work so hard, sometimes they're almost like you do things that are detrimental to yourself, and I've kind of fallen into that before where I've, you know, pushed too hard and gone too hard and not given myself a rest during prep, and you basically just get sick and you start to deplete too much or you lose muscle, and you know, sometimes it's obviously probably better to be too hard on yourself than, you know, go too easy, but it can be bad, can't it?
Yeah, definitely. It's like, yeah, there's a fine line, and then that day I sort of hit the wall and nearly fell over. I was like, oh, something's, I've gone a bit too hard here. It's time to back off the cardio, you know, just chill out for a while. And so that's sort of what I did. And yeah, it definitely worked.
Yeah. Now, you're like, obviously, you know, people have kind of, I mean, I don't think you got the recognition you deserved from this last comp. I mean, there's obviously people that are talking, but there's, I think, you know, it was more people comparing Scott and Josh Lenardowicz, just the way they were posing down in the pose down and stuff, that they were together a lot of the time. So people were making that comparison more. And you probably didn't get the credit you deserved. And obviously Andy Crawford as well. I think he came in very good at, you know, one of his best showings, if not his best, after going to train with Dennis James over in America. So it was four guys that were basically at their best or close to it, which is pretty rare to see in a lineup. But, you know, you were right up there. Do you intend on competing next year? Because it's like you've taken the leap now from, you know, being a guy that was, you know, last year you weren't contending with those top guys to being a guy that was contending. And next year, obviously, you're a young guy still, so you can make big improvements every year. Is the plan to do the Arnold Classic Amateur Australia next year as well? Because I believe, you know, past competitors that have done the pro qualifier can compete in the pro qualifier without qualifying, I think.
Yeah, well, each year I sort of take it as it comes, you know. If I think I've made enough gains, I sort of like to put on a good 5 kilo of muscle each year. And I think, because I know I have to keep filling my frame out. So if I've done that, and, you know, if the time's right, yeah, definitely. I'm really keen to do it. Obviously, it's going to be a pretty huge year for Australian bodybuilding and everything like that. It's very exciting. That's definitely the goal. Hopefully, it all falls into place. Like you said, I didn't get much recognition. That doesn't bother me. We sort of get forgotten about a little bit up in Brisbane, because I don't really go too public with anything myself, so I sort of stay fairly low key, and that's how I like to do it. But yeah, no, it's all good. Like, it's, if you ask one person up here, they'll say, "Oh, you were definitely as good second." But you know, if you ask the boys down south, they'll say, "Oh, Scotty was an easily second," and that's bodybuilding. That's all good. It's yeah, I was just happy with it all, so it didn't bother me too much.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you're one of the few actual, you know, young guys that are really kind of making a splash now. Like, back in the day, you used to get a lot of guys that were, you know, early to mid-20s that were, you know, top amateurs, or they were, you know, even in America and stuff. We had Sean Ray and stuff, and Lee Priest, and everyone like that turning pro at 21 and stuff. But you don't really hear it these days. Well, what's your training like? Is your training different to, is it hard and heavy, or is it, you know, do you use different techniques? Because it seems like, I don't know, either guys aren't training like heavy enough these days, young guys, and they're just not making those gains to actually be competitive against the older guys. Do you think it's training, or?
It's definitely work ethic. I was just lucky when I was getting into bodybuilding, you know, after I won the junior nationals, I think it was 2010 or something, I just had a lot of older guys up here who sort of took me under their wing, like Trev, Andy Cunningham played a big part in, you know, me coming through the ranks. And just, I've always been a very hard trainer. It's come from background of other sports, but I met someone like Andy a few years ago, and he put me through workouts for a few months, and I thought the guy was crazy. He had me spewing after every session, and that was great. I just kept coming back for more because I lived for it. And after a few months, I stopped vomiting. I could keep up with him to a degree because he's still crazy. But it was guys like sort of him and Trev who sort of taught me how to train, how to eat a little bit better. I sort of do that bit myself. But yeah, just the training. It's always been very heavy. Like I've been fairly strong on like bench presses, squats, and that sort of stuff. So I think just practicing them from a younger age has helped quite a bit with. But training, definitely. I see a lot of people train, and especially for shows, I sort of watch people occasionally, and I think, are you taking yourself seriously? Because you're training like a girl. It's just how I've been taught. I watch other people train, and I think that's embarrassing. But yeah, it's training's very important.
Yeah, for sure. Do you go heavy on like a lot of your like basic lifts and stuff?
Yeah, it's as I get closer to a show, I seem to get stronger till about the 2 or 3 week out period. I'm pretty much the strongest for the whole year, right at that period. So I think that's sort of how I managed to grow into the shows. I seem to push PBs on quite a few lifts very close to the show, which doesn't really make sense to me, but possibly because I'm just, you know, you're in that zone, you focus, your training's just perfect, everything's perfect, and so yeah, you get quite strong.
Yeah, I actually found that as well, dieting this year. Yeah, I actually got stronger into the show, like you said, till about 2 to 3 weeks out, and then you take a bit of a dip, but obviously, you know, what you've been doing has been working, and obviously this year you kind of, you know, even though it wasn't planned, you what you did actually almost, it's like how Luke Wood, I think he prepped for an IFBB Pro show for I think about 3 weeks when he first started working with Milos, and that was I think the New York Pro where he placed about, I think it was between 5th and 7th, somewhere around there, but looked really, really good. And that was like the best he ever looked on a pro stage, and it was like a 3 week prep, and ever since then he did long preps and didn't come in as good. So it's amazing how sometimes if you know, you just jump into a diet like really quickly and do a bit of a quicker one, you can actually come in better.
Yeah, definitely. Like, would I do an 8 week prep again? Probably not. Hopefully not. Because you know, I had to go a little bit hard for a few weeks, but I think just finding would I do a 16 week prep again? Never again. I would never do that again. I think 10 to 12 weeks for most guys should be enough. And if you really need to prep more than 12 weeks. I think you're probably getting a little bit too heavy, perhaps. But yeah, I definitely sort of, I'll find the fine line next time. Hopefully it won't be a last minute decision, and a 10 week, 12 week or whatever, that should be perfect.
Yep. So what are you doing now? Is it time just to take some time off the gym, or are you straight back into it?
Yeah, I'm always quite burnt out after a big competition like that. I find it takes about nearly a month to get the body right, feeling right again. You know, your joints are quite sore, you put on all the water weight. I'm just starting to lose that puffy water weight now, so I'm only just starting to train good now. It's taken nearly a month to get the body feeling right, so I've sort of just been cruising up till now, letting the body. I sleep quite a bit after a show. I'm quite tired. I stop my cardio and you know, catch up on all the junk food for a few weeks, and you feel like crap, and you go back on sort of a better eating plan. So yeah, it feels good. I think this week gone by was the first week I've put together some good sessions, so that made me feel a bit better because I was feeling like absolute crap training half-assed.
Yeah, yeah. And you obviously stay quite lean in the off-season. I mean, you said you're eating burgers and stuff like that, but, I mean, do you eat pretty clean year-round so you do stay lean?
Well, I'd love to say yes, but no, I'm actually quite terrible on my eating. I don't actually eat a whole lot of food. I'm quite slack with my eating and cooking. That's one thing I struggle with when I'm living on my own or something. I often need the girl to help me out with that because I'm very slack with my eating. So if I'm, you know, if I'm training clients or something, I'll run off and get some sushi, and that'll do me for 5 hours, or I'll have a protein shake or something like that. So I've made a promise to myself this off season, get the meals sorted, because, you know, I only seem to eat properly when I'm doing a show. So I thought, okay, it's time to get serious. If I'm gonna do this, it's time to get the meals sorted and eat like I would for a show, obviously with a bit more calories all year round. So that's the goal. I've started to do that now.
Yeah. And people listening to that as well, like, I know when I listen to someone that says that, and then they said, oh, well, I'm going to change that and I'm going to be doing this, it kind of gets like people, like fans and stuff of the sport, excited, especially coming from a young guy as well that can still add a lot of muscle. It gets people excited because they think, oh, wow, he can make heaps more gains if he's able to do that. And, you know, if he gains anything like he did last year, people are going to, I think if you do compete next year and you're on that pro qualifier stage, I think there's going to be a lot more hype around you based off the gains that you got in the last off season. So it's very exciting. But I mean, do you look up to anyone now, you know, on the pro scene, and say like, you know, that's the kind of physique, that's what I want, that's what I'm planning to look like when I get to that, you know, that pro standard level. And I mean, did you go to the pro comp after the pro qualifier and watch that? Was that hard to kind of watch?
Yeah, it was hard. Yeah, it was definitely hard to watch because, you know, it's obviously my dream to be up there. But, you know, I haven't paid my dues yet. I'm not ready just yet. But it was a great show. I definitely like to compare myself, and I like to look like a Kevin Levrone physique, Sean Roden, you know, Dexter Jackson, the small waist, big shoulders, that sort of thing, which I feel I can sort of replicate. I was really blown away by that William Bonac in the pro show. He was just outstanding.
Yeah.
I just thought he looked unreal. He could have even won the show, to be honest. So they're the sort of physiques that I really like and definitely look up to.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, I asked you if it was hard watching the show, and you said, yeah. But it was like when Josh Lanadowitz and Gary Wright came out on stage, were you kind of like, you know, that's going to be me next year or anything like that?
Well, yeah, that's definitely what I tell myself. I sort of had a goal to be, I wanted to be the youngest pro bodybuilder in the country. That's been the goal. I sort of made that goal a couple of years ago, and I'll just slowly chip away until that goal was, you know, achieved, I guess. So I would have sort of wanted to be pro by 25, which is a bit unrealistic to most people, but I'm pretty stubborn and I'll just keep chipping away. And I'm 25 next month, so if I can do next season and I could do that, that would be, you know, a dream come true. But you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And now, obviously, it being an Arnold Classic Australia next year, there's going to be, you know, a lot more people kind of probably putting their hand up to do a pro qualifier, people that are qualified or people will try to qualify at the Nationals to actually do that. Does that, obviously, you know, Scott Goebel's out, is, you know, as far as I know, he's not going to be doing it because he's getting married and whatnot. Josh Lanadowitz is not in there, obviously. You got Andy Crawford who might do it again. But that kind of takes a few people out of it, but there is obviously going to be people that are coming in there. Do you have anyone on your radar that you think will be kind of up there, you know, or going to be a challenger next year?
I haven't really, I've sort of tried not to think about bodybuilding for a few weeks, but there's definitely guys that I think, yeah, definitely should get more recognition. I think I have a feeling Logan Robson will do the pro qualifier this coming one, which I think he looks great, and he'll be very tough for me to beat, someone like him. Andy Crawford always delivers. I don't really know too many people, to be honest, who might be doing it, but I have a feeling Logan will. Andy will probably do it again. I'm not really too sure. I hear lots of names being thrown around, but I don't actually think they've even qualified to do the show yet. I think they're being a bit optimistic.
Yeah, for sure.
You hear a lot of talk, but I don't really know these people personally, so I'm not too sure, to be honest. Yeah.
Yeah. And does that make it more enticing for you to do it at, like, the first year being Arnold Australia? And obviously the winner will qualify and be competing in an Arnold Classic competition.
Definitely. I didn't really think about it till it was actually the other day. Someone asked me that, and I thought, oh, that's a pretty good point. You know, that's pretty enticing, that thing right there. So it's definitely, I've definitely pretty much now started training as if I'm doing the show next year. That's the goal. So we'll see what happens.
Awesome. So that means on Aussie Muscle Radio, we'll be talking about you probably every second weekend of the show up until next year. So.
Yeah, that would be good.
No, we love hyping it up, and if you ever want to do any like training video type stuff for RX Muscle, or you got anyone up there that can video you, make sure you send it through to us, because I'm sure people would love to see that, and love to see a bit from your camp up there. But Benny, thanks for coming on Aussie Muscle Radio. Now, is there anyone out there you want to thank or give a shout out to?
Just pretty much thank my Trev Ledbetter, who helped me for my prep. Just one of my training partners, Mitch, who trained with me for the show, and the rest will know who they are, but they're the sort of my main mates who helped me out for the show, and yeah, just thanks for having me. Appreciate being on.
No worries at all, mate. Any sponsors out there?
No sponsors at the moment, so yeah, just waiting for that one.
Okay, well, this is for any sponsors out there listening. And you want to pick up a very good young bodybuilder, I'd definitely recommend Benny Townsend. So, Benny, thanks for being on Aussie Muscle Radio. That's Benny Townsend, up-and-coming IFBB bodybuilder.
Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at massnutrition.com.au.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them, because they challenge the way people make them think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at MyMuscleChef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
Leave that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and aesthetics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. This week I'm joined by a man called Hayden Wilson, but he's often known as Hungry Hado. Hayden, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Xavier. Good to be back.
Now, your name is Hungry Hado. I mean, you're known as Hungry Hado by a few people. Now, obviously, this is because you did some eating feats and stuff. More in the past now, you were telling me before the interview, but give us an idea of some of your like best eating feats that you've done.
Okay, so yeah, like you said, I've sort of moved away from the eating, but obviously it's still a fun pastime, and I do still enjoy it. So basically I've done 41 Weet-Bix in 5 minutes. I've done a couple of big burgers, so I did a 2.5 kilo burger. And then probably more recently, I've done 80 pancakes from the pancake parlor.
Holy crap. And, how long did that take?
That was about 17 minutes.
Wow, I thought he was going to say like 2 hours or something.
Nah, it was for an event in Melbourne Central, so there's like 2,000 people watching. It was quite daunting, and but to date, I've done this all for charity pretty much. So I've raised 27,200 or something around about that number.
Yeah, that's actually what I was going to ask you about. Like, what made you like to say like you know. Say, okay, I want to raise money for charity. Is there a certain charity that you're passionate about, or is it just a few different charities?
Well, it's for one charity, so it's for it's through Everyday Hero, which is like a collaborator of all the money, and they give you a URL and a graph showing how much you've raised and who from and such. And it's for the Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia, which I believe doesn't get enough recognition in males. I mean, There's a large awareness for breast cancer in females, which is great, but the males, they're not really. I think that's probably the most important one for males. So that's why I've chosen that. And my audience, if you can call it that, would be predominantly males themselves. And it's just funny because obviously every challenge I do, there's always a couple of males in the room. Oh, I could do that. I could do that. And so I just love, I love that there's a challenge involved, and that, I mean, everyone, like 90% of guys think they can eat a lot. So it's cool to showcase that. And then when you actually show them that how it's done, it's quite funny, and it's cool to see them. And sometimes they get involved, and I guess it grows, and that's good fun.
Yeah, sometimes people think, like, oh, if I starve myself a little bit, you can eat a lot. But once you start eating and you actually get into it, you're like, nah, this is harder than you think, huh?
Yeah, so it happened the other day. I was eating the pancakes. I was trying to break the record at the pancake parlor again, and I got about 50 pancakes in, and I started getting really full. And I was just like, it was disappointing because I wanted to perform, but it just wasn't possible. Like, I was just so full, so... I felt bad for letting the audience down, but on the day, you know, if you can't do it, you just can't do it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what's that like? Like, what's the most pain you've actually, like, put yourself through in terms of, like, an eating challenge? Was that the worst?
Okay, so given that your audience is predominantly bodybuilders and, I guess, fitness professionals, I know oats are very big, and this is probably the worst one because I actually had 1 kilo of oats and 2 liters of milk and, of course, honey on top in 9 minutes. And they're raw oats, so straight out of the packet. That was quite painful afterwards, obviously, with the swelling of the oats inside of the stomach. I became extremely bloated. However, afterwards, I ended up going to the gym. Maybe I went for a nap. I won't lie, I went for a nap. And then afterwards, I went to the gym and squatted 145 kilos, which is not very much, but it beat my personal record. So I was quite happy with that.
That's awesome. I was going to say, did you actually? I thought you were going to say something like, because there's so much fiber, and I thought you were going to say, like, you crapped yourself or something.
No, I actually broke a squat record, so that's the secret, guys. Eat 1 kilo of oats before a squat PR.
That's awesome. Now, do you have any upcoming eating challenges, or is it just pretty much 100% focus on work and things like that?
I don't. There might be a burger challenge in the mix. But it's, yeah, like you're saying, mainly I'm focusing on work and a few other projects I've got going on at the moment. So, the eating's sort of taking a back seat. But I'm always happy for any challenges. So anyone can contact me and throw a challenge out there.
Awesome, I love it. Now, yeah, you're currently working for Tony Doherty, who's a man behind, you know, FitX for the past few years and the upcoming Arnold Classic, and he obviously owns the Doherty's gym chains and all that stuff. Now, in what capacity are you, like, working for Tony?
Okay, so basically I started working for Tony 2 years ago. So I was on your podcast maybe 2.5 years ago. I was still working in IT. I ended up finishing up there just because I wanted to work in an industry I enjoyed. And I was going to Doherty's gym at the time, and me and Tony started talking a little bit and becoming friends. And I explained to him, I put a post on Twitter and just said, oh, time for a career change. And he saw it and he said, oh, hey, come and chat to me in the gym. So we organized a meet up and have some breakfast at the gym. And I just started chatting, and he said, like, what do you do? And I said, oh, I work in IT. And he'd seen some of my Hungry Hato videos, actually, and he noticed that I was not too bad with the camera, although it was pretty basic stuff. But at the time, I guess not many people were doing the whole video editing and mixing things together and putting music with it within the fitness industry. So that sort of stood out. So I started working for Tony 5 days a week, as I guess we created a role for a bit of a social media manager, the building a new website, and just general, I guess, IT help. Not so much with, like, hardware stuff, but more just like brand recognition and streamlining some processes there. So I started working for Tony then, and just slowly grew with the business, and just working alongside Tony, we got on really well. Pretty much worked up until, I guess, last year, just like stuff around. I built us a new website and grew our Facebook fan page. I think we're on about 4,000 when we started, and we're up to 12,000 now. And just working with Tony, and sort of just like got to know each other better. And now I guess I'm somewhat of a right hand man and helping with some gym management, and almost like in an assistant role. Coupled with that, I do all of the websites. So Initially, I built DeltasGym.com, and then afterwards we didn't really do anything. And then he said, oh, we want to build an ebook for Amanda. Can you learn how to do that? I mean, Tony's really good. He's really supportive and knows that when I put my mind to something, then I can achieve it. So he gives me time to learn it actually on the job. So I learned how to build an ebook. We built a recipe book for Amanda, and we actually grew her brand quite well as well. So she's got an ebook, and we had to build a website to launch that on, and then we got the ebooks within iTunes and also on Kindle. And then we just continued on, and then all of a sudden we needed a website for obviously the Arnold Classic Australia when that launched. So all within this, I was doing a few video things and still managing our social medias and growing the brand and thinking of new ways to like new clothing lines or new procedures within the desk and building an employee manual to help out there. And it's so hard to describe what the role is, but I guess anything that Tony and I believe will grow the brand, then we try and do. And I guess the last couple of weeks, it's been quite hectic after FitX 2014 because we need to get the Arnold Classic Australia website up. So we've just been working really hard and to try and launch that. And that's what my time's been concentrated on the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, was it more stressful leading up to FitX, or is it more stressful now in terms of how much work you've got on?
Well, it's actually funny. I guess for most people, it was stressful leading up to it. This year we've been lucky. We had a couple more members on the team, and we streamlined a lot of the processes with the tickets. So that's been a little bit easier. So before FitX, for me personally, it wasn't as stressful as the year before. Obviously, as well, because the Arnold Columbus is a week before, so Tony goes away, and Gary, who helps out with our clothing and brand management, and also helps out with the tickets, Gary Phillips, he was away at the Arnold Classic Columbus as well. So last year it was just me, but this year we've got another team member on board, Tim, who's helped out a lot and freed up a lot more time. So I was concentrating on just doing my normal job. But then, yeah, like your question originally was, like, it's a lot more stressful post-FitX for me because we're really trying hard to get this website up and make it the best website it can be.
Yeah, what will your URL be for the Arnold Classic Australia website?
Well, it's going to be arnoldclassic.com.au. We've also got arnoldclassicaustralia.com.au, but that just redirects. And pretty much, I don't want to set any time frames, but it should be up very, very soon.
Awesome. Can't wait to see what it looks like. Yeah. And, obviously, Tony's doing a lot. I mean, do you get to see, do you work, like, you know, with Tony in the same room sometimes, or is it more like you do your stuff kind of from home? Or
no, we definitely work together. So up until probably 2 months ago, we were all in one big office, and it was like me, Gary, Tim, and Tony, and Scotty Goble, your co-host. But yep. Yeah, now Tony's moved into a bigger office, and but I mean, we still see him every single day. It's strange, like, he's probably one of the only bosses in the world that's as busy as he is, but still has time for every single person that comes past. And he's a very unique man.
Yeah, I don't know how Tony does that. He seems to manage it all. I don't know how he is actually personable, gets back. Like, I sent him a message last night on Facebook. I got a reply within, like, you know, like 5 minutes. And, I requested a competitors list from him, sent it through straight away. I couldn't believe it. He said, check your email. And I was like, yeah. Oh, holy crap. Like, that's dedication for you.
It's dedication and a man who knows extreme time productivity and how to... It's almost like inspiring others to be the best they can be. That's probably the best way I can describe it. So, for example, nothing against Tony, but obviously his website building skills aren't the greatest. That's why he's employed someone like me or to help out with event management. Obviously he's very good at it himself, but he's got Nina who helps run FitX as well. So it's like an awareness to know when he can do something himself, or an awareness to know when someone else could do it more efficiently.
Yeah, basically, he knows how to delegate well. So
of course, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Now, you've got a new website yourself. It's basically, it helps personal trainers to help, I suppose, promote themselves in a better way. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Okay, so I started a brand called PT Profit, P-R-O-P-H-E-T, and it's pretty much always on Facebook I see trainers getting on there and just reposting pictures and putting up basically terrible content, content they think is popular without actually generating any new business for themselves or knowing what to do. So basically what I'm doing is offering free advice in the form of a blog and updates and like video programs and tutorials to help personal trainers actually know what to do online. So if they're using WordPress sites, I give little tips on how to use a WordPress site or how to maximize their... It's pretty much maximizing their fitness business online. So there's none of this stuff about earning passive income, because that's not... It personally, that's really big right now, earning passive income, and all these internet marketers are trying to aim it at everyone, but that's not the right model. What I aim to do is help beginners. So giving them the basics and teaching them that they don't need to have the best website, but it's good to have a website up and can just continuously work at it. And I've actually got a podcast of my own, the PT Profit podcast, and that is a show where I interview pretty much the leading experts within the fitness industry. So I've had Nick Mitchell, I've had Lane Norton, I'm going to be having Tony on soon, Charles Poliquin's going to be coming on soon. I've got eight episodes out now, and pretty much I just want to show personal trainers what's required. So without them just jumping online and crapping on and not even knowing anything about how to continuously learn or putting any time into their own business, I just want to teach them that it is possible, and just give them some strategies to learn about that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's a great idea as well, because there's not many people out there that are actually giving people, like we said with your blog, like you're giving advice on how to, you know, help promote yourself as a personal trainer. Could any other businesses get something out of this, not just PTs? Like, could, you know, for someone who's, you know, promoting something else within the fitness industry or any other industry, actually get something out of your blog?
Well, yeah, it is. It's actually it's unique in the fact that I do aim it at personal trainers and fitness industry experts. I guess that's my main audience. However, the underlying principles should be the same across all industries. So you could use it in any service business, and you just have to tweak those principles slightly depending on what you're offering.
Yep. Now, do you have any goals like yourself in terms of, obviously, you train and you're around the industry pretty much nonstop now. Do you have any goals as yourself to compete in bodybuilding or strongman, or is there anything that you want to do within the industry as an athlete yourself?
So I probably don't want to compete as a bodybuilder as such. Like you said, I love training. I just love being in the gym. So whether that's performing a deadlift or jumping on the rowing machine for 20 minutes and trying to beat a personal record there, or jumping in the squat rack and doing something ridiculous like 30 sets of squats just for fun, it's just a good industry to be in. Staying fit is essential for any business owner, and well, anyone in general. I think everyone should perform exercise at least 3 or 4 days a week. Obviously, most of your listeners are performing it pretty much 7 days a week, I'd assume, being bodybuilders. But I would love to get a 600-pound deadlift. I think that's pretty much the benchmark for a lot of guys, but I mean that's sort of like a 5-year goal. So I'll slowly work at that. I've been speaking to Derek Poundstone a little bit, he's very knowledgeable on the deadlift, so it's good to be speaking to him. And other than that, no plans as such to compete.
Yeah, it's just casually just speaking to Derek Poundstone, one of the world's strongest men. It's awesome that you've obviously got so many opportunities and so many links to some of the best people in the sport, you know, through working for Tony and working in this industry. I mean, who else have you had the chance to obviously, you know, sit down and talk to and, you know, interact with?
Well, yeah, I've been very lucky in that I've had the opportunity to speak to some of these world leaders, and working at Delta's Gym has opened up many opportunities. And obviously working for Tony is the reason why that's happened. But beyond that, it's a factor of hard work as well from my end, in that I have shown such loyalty to Tony and worked so hard to even get in that position. I've had the opportunities to speak to, obviously, Derek, Neil, who trains William Bonack, and Flex Lewis, and then Lane Norton, Nick Mitchell, Charles Poliquin. I'm not sure if you heard of Steve Cotter. He's a kettlebell expert and owns a lot of he owns the IKFF, which is a kettlebell certification organization. And last week I spoke to Steve Maxwell on the podcast, he's actually the first guy who brought kettlebells to America. He was the first teacher of the kettlebells, and he's 61 years old and maintains sub 8% body fat year round. So I get just speaking to any of these guys is amazing, and I'm very fortunate to have those opportunities.
Yeah, it's amazing. Is this guy like loaded now? Did he develop the kettlebells, or did he sell a certain brand of kettlebells?
Well, it's quite interesting because when he was on the podcast, like, he travels all around the world, yeah, but I think about maybe 15 years ago, he actually split up with his wife, and he was living the life. He had a nice house and nice car or whatever, and then he just goes, what's it all for? So he sold everything. He sold everything he owned, and now he travels around, and he travels around America in an RV, and all his possessions are owned. He told me all his possessions are owned within a bag. So he owns one bag of possessions, clothing, whatever, and he just travels around. He just travels around America, and he's taken on a minimalistic lifestyle. So it's interesting to see someone that obviously can earn the coin, but it's not a priority to him. So it's great to see.
That's amazing. And I can't wait to actually get on iTunes and download your podcast and subscribe to that. I encourage everyone out there that's listening to this, and if they like our podcast, I'm sure they'll love yours. So just let us know the name of that podcast again so people can go out and search for it.
Yeah, so if you just go to ptprofit.com/iTunes or just head over to ptprofit.com, you'll see all the links there and be able to get in contact with me as well. And you can just jump straight on iTunes and subscribe from there.
Awesome. And Profit's spelled, it's not just Profit like P-R-O-F-I-T, it's Profit like P-R-O, is it P-H-E-T?
That's correct, yeah.
Excellent. Thank you very much for coming on the show, Hayden. Like I said, everyone go out there and support what they're doing. And also when the Arnold Classic Australia website is launched, go to arnoldclassic.com.au. Hayden, thanks for coming on the show. That's Hayden Wilson, one of Australia's best eaters.
Thanks very much. All right, thanks, Xavier.
Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at massnutrition.com.au.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them, because they challenge the way people make them think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP, we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at MyMuscleChef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
Need that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and aesthetics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm on the line with Michael Galley, and we are here to wrap up the show. Now, Mick, how have you been this week, mate?
Mate, I've been awesome, Xavier. And how committed am I? I've just put in a full day's work, and we couldn't really talk or do this show because of the noise we're in the shop I was in, which was Massive Nutrition, Rabina. Now I'm on my way to clients, and we're recording in the car. That's illegal, isn't it?
Yeah, it probably is, but we're recording on the road, and that's, that's all right. Yeah. You got hands-free, don't you?
Not touching anything. I've just got the iPad resting on my chest.
Every time
I say iPad, I think of Joey Bender.
Mick, it's funny. When I actually got an iPad, I went into the store and I was waiting there, like in this Telstra store. I literally waited for probably about 30 minutes, and they said, "Oh, do you want to go get a coffee?" And they gave us like these free coffee things, and we're like, "Oh yeah." Walked around to the coffee shop, and then we walked back, and because the coffee shop was just packed, so it just would have taken us, 30 minutes to get a coffee. We came back and some other people got to the shop, so we ended up having to wait an extra 20 minutes just because we got given these coffee vouchers. So that I almost said I'm not going to get an iPad, but I'm glad I did because I love my iPad.
Yeah, I'm warming to mine, I won't lie, and you've showed me a few things, that helped me out immensely with it, but I am getting used to it. I did hate it at the start. We all know that. I hated it. I was cursing Joey. but I guess with anything, you get used to it and then you start to appreciate it.
Yeah. Does Joey even listen to our show?
Joey?
Yeah.
I hope Joey does. I really don't know. Do you know Joey's in Koh Samui at the moment?
No, I did not.
No, I get a text the day before. He goes, "Mick, I love you. I miss you. I'm going to Thailand tomorrow." So I rang him up and said, "Okay, that's random." And he goes, "Yeah, I'm going to Koh Samui." And I went, "Okay." I've had a few inboxes from him saying how lovely... I've never been, but saying how beautiful it is, so...
That's where you're going, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but we haven't said anything yet, have we?
Oh, Jesus, are we saying that yet?
Yeah, we probably next show, because I could talk about it for 5 or 10 minutes to explain it and how it's working.
Yeah, we've got plenty of stuff to talk about on this episode, but... tune in for that one. But, Mick, we're going to be previewing the 2014 Orlando Europa Show. And I was kind of, like, when I was looking at the, trying to find the list for this, they didn't have a list out literally until today. And we're recording this probably 2 hours before the show goes up, or like 1.5 hours before the show goes up. So, lucky we are recording last minute, because now we've got the list, finally.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you got it, because I was Googling just then when I finished work trying to find it. I couldn't find it.
Yeah, it's only literally just gone up on ifbbpro.com. It went up today, so... We're fortunate enough to have it now. I wish they'd released it a little bit earlier so we had a better idea. But, so obviously Scotty and I couldn't preview it because we recorded yesterday, but you and I are going to preview this show. And we've had a late entrance, which could actually be the show winner or one of the biggest names in the show, and that's John De La Rosa. Now, John was prepping for the 2014 Arnold Brazil, and he's decided last minute, he said he's been going back and forth with his trainer, Chris Aceto, and he's decided to jump in the show. Do you think this is a good move?
If he's in condition, I think it's a great move. He's obviously he's got a great coach with Chris, and we all know Victor Martinez has had a big influence in his career as well. And he's got a very similar physique to Victor, do you agree?
Yeah, he does. Almost on a smaller, more compact scale, though. Like, it's he's very well put together, though. Like, for a shorter guy, he's very well put together. And does, I mean, he looks like he can hold even more muscle on his frame because he does have such good shape.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's definitely got more room to improve size-wise, but he's still got that tiny waist. Doesn't seem to be lacking too many body parts. So when you read the list out before we started recording, if he can nail, or if he is in condition, I think he's the front runner right now after everyone that you've mentioned.
Yeah, there's only 13 in the lineup, which is a pretty small lineup, and I thought there'd be more actually from the Arnold Brazil that would be doing it, but obviously not. But I think one of his biggest challenges is actually going to be Justin Compton, who placed fifth in, I think it was the Chicago show last year, but it's a very impressive fifth. I actually would have had him higher, probably up in fourth or third. And he's almost like a second coming of Dennis Wolf, I think. I mean, he's a lot younger, obviously. He's only in his mid-20s now. I think he's only about 25. And he's incredibly impressive. If he can make the gains that he made from when he turned pro to his first pro show, if he can make those same gains for his second pro show and come in the same condition, he's going to be battling it out, I think, with someone like John De La Rosa.
Yeah, I think. Have you seen any recent photos of him?
There's some training videos of him when he was at the Arnold Classic in Columbus, which I saw only a little bit of one of those, and he looked impressive there, but, I mean, it was hard to tell. He's just wearing a singlet. There's no posing and stuff, so... that was kind of hard to get a detection of where he's at, but he did look big in the video, so.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I'd definitely be happy. If he's made those extra improvements and comes in tight, he could push for that first or second.
And the thing is, as well, like, you know, a lot of guys in their first pro comp, they'll come in out of condition, just going for that size, but he came in condition in his first pro comp anyway, and he did put on size, so that was kind of encouraging for me and makes me think that he will come in condition again here.
Do you know who his prep coach is?
I'm not sure. I was trying to think of that, actually, just as we were talking. But have you ever seen any of his videos where he's talking?
No, I haven't, no.
Oh, it's hilarious. Because he's from Kentucky. He's got, a real, country accent. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
I watched one of his food prep videos as well. And he just sounds like, I don't know, it kind of sounds, really stereotypical. But he sounds really, I don't want to say dumb, but you know what I mean? Like that country accent where you think someone's not too smart, basically.
It's a bit of a slower accent sort of thing, isn't it? It's just, yeah.
Yeah. But another guy who's in the lineup who I never thought we'd see this guy in condition ever, but he came into the New York Pro, I think it was last year maybe, and he came in condition, and that's Clarence DeVise. And, I mean, he's a guy that I never thought would, never thought would come in condition. He finally nailed it once, but that seems like that was about the only time he really nailed it, because a week or two later when he did Toronto, he was, you know, kind of a little bit off again. But, I mean, I saw a picture of him about a week or two out and doing almost muscular, and he looked full and reasonably hard. He looked actually super full, but, you know, he probably looked like he needed to drop a bit of water or something. Do you think he could be a factor with the amount of muscle he has?
He's got a great physique, hasn't he? He's so thick and full. But I think, like you said, we've only seen him in that really top condition once. It's one of those things you've got to think, well, did he sort of fluke that condition, you know, or has he finally nailed his prep? So, mate, I don't know. I'm thinking, I don't know. I don't think he's got all the factors right at this stage to consistently place, you know, in that sort of condition.
Yeah, because he did obviously nail it in New York Pro, but a week later in Toronto, he looked like he put on about 5 kilos of fat. kilos.
And I remember when he came out, just before his amateur coming to the pro ranks, and he showed a lot of promise, and there was a lot of people thinking he could have done some damage in some shows, but as yet, he's still lacking that consistency.
Yeah, he was in condition when he obviously turned pro, and that show where we saw the photos going up online, that's probably about six or so years ago now, thinking back to when I used to go on the Milos Sarchev forums and saw photos on there. So it's probably about, 6 or so years ago. And, you know, he nailed it then, and he's nailed it at the New York Pro last year, and that's about the only times, really. So I hope we do see him in condition here, and he goes on to do some more shows like New York and stuff again as well. But another guy who I just saw in the lineup, Mick, and this is kind of a surprise, we saw him actually in a men's physique show last year, and that's Caprice Murray.
Okay? I must have heard that when you did the list. Do you remember Caprice when he turned pro?
Yeah, he was awesome. He was huge.
He was so thick and full and hard. Like, I don't know. I still don't know why he retired, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, he dropped down, did men's physique last year, which was kind of a surprise to see him in men's physique. So I was like, is this actually the Caprice Murray? I looked at the photos and yep, it was. And he still looked like he had a, you know, quite, I mean, obviously nothing like he was back in his pro days when he's competing as an IFBB pro bodybuilder, but he still, when you actually looked at him, you're like, actually, he's got a fair bit of muscle, a lot more than the average amateur competitor, amateur bodybuilder. But I mean, obviously he's going to ramp things up and do this show. It's going to, so it's going to be interesting to see how much muscle he can actually put on in that, I mean, not even a year's time, so.
Yeah, I mean, he's got muscle memory too, so it'll be interesting, and a shorter frame. So he was awesome back in the day, mate. I think he made a place. I think this was back when the Night of Champions was on. I think he might have got third one of those years, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Was that the year that Luke Wood looked really good?
Yeah, that might. Yeah, when Luke got fifth.
Yeah, yeah, because I remember seeing comparisons with both of those two standing next to each other.
Yeah, 2005, I think that was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was somewhere around there. It was about when I was kind of just started to, like, get into the sport. So I think maybe 2006 I started to get into it. And I remember seeing those photos come out. So, yeah, it would have been around 2005. Yeah. But a guy that you know from Gold's Gym in Venice Beach is Arne Wynn, who's doing the show. Now, he's a guy that I think has a lot of potential in terms of the shape of his physique. And I thought to be honest, when he came onto the scene, I thought he would do better than he's done. His first year as a pro, when he competed, I thought he did quite well. He's placing around fifth in many shows. But since then, it seems like he's kind of lost the formula in terms of coming in condition and holding that size while he diets. I mean, do you think he can regain his previous form in this show, Mick?
He's definitely looking better. His Facebook photos he's put up recently, he looks really good. And for an Asian guy, he's got an excellent physique, as in, like, he doesn't really lack... Some of the Asians lack certain body parts and they don't have the right structure, but his muscle bellies are so full and so long. Like you said, I've known Nan when he was an amateur, and we used to stay in touch via Facebook and that. We haven't really seen much, but I think he's moved down to San Francisco now. But when I trained at Gold's, he was always in there training under Charles Glass, and he was a hard trainer. He was a really, really nice guy. Always took the time for a chat, and just looking at him in person, he could do so much damage. Like, he's got so much potential there. He's just lacking getting in that condition. And so far, as an amateur, as a pro, I haven't seen him get in that really hard condition. And I'm not sure what he's doing. I'm not sure who his prep coach is, if anyone. But I'd love to see Arne get in razor sharp condition, because he could really shake it up.
Yeah, I'd love for him to work with someone like Chris Aceto or one of these really good prep coaches, and see what they could do with Arne, because I think he's got all the potential in the world. And if he fully realises it, then I think he's going to be a top contender. And, you know, after that first year, I thought he's really going to establish himself as one of these guys that's constantly in the top five in these pro shows. But it wasn't to be, but hopefully he can get back there. Now, another guy who's going to be a favourite in this show is Fred Smalls. I think he's going to be definitely one of the top three guys. But, I mean, he could be unseated in this show. And I think this is kind of a dangerous show for Fred, because he's not always known for coming in condition. In some of these smaller shows, they come down to condition a lot more than, you know, perhaps an Arnold Classic, which he's just recently done. Do you think Fred will do well in this show, or do you think that his conditioning may be an issue?
It's hard to say, mate. Like, he started, you know, he's been obviously on this diet for a hell of a long time. Whether or not that's going to work for him or against, because some guys can hold their conditioning. Well, you need to get harder, but they can hold it from comp to comp, or the others fade out fast. Size-wise, he's improved a lot in the last year or two. He's really sort of packed a little bit more size on it and gotten a bit rounder. Obviously, his posing's, you know, pretty awesome. Everyone loves his posing. But, yeah, just that conditioning, if he can manage to bring that. He's in a lineup here where we don't have any first-tier bodybuilders. So, mate, anything can happen with these guys.
Yeah. And someone who's not on the list as well, who I've heard is doing the show, is Ben White, who we haven't seen much from for a long time. And He won a pro show a few years back, and he kind of dropped off his... I mean, he competed a few more times, and it looked like his body was just not responding. His back seemed to shrink down a lot, and his body kind of struggled a bit. But I saw some photos of him, and his back wasn't... It was still kind of, you know, that shrunken down type look. But the front, he's looking in condition, and he's looking like he added maybe a little bit more size back onto from his front and stuff. So, I mean, do you think he could be in a factor at all here, or do you think that he's just too far behind the eight ball?
I think my gut feeling tells me he's been out of the loop for too long. But if you remember when Ben came on the scene, he came on the scene touting himself as the next best thing. Like, he was going to be Mr. Olympia. And then Ben got spanked pretty hard in a few comps, and it brought him down a bit. Nutribullet's stuck with him, which is a major supplement company that he was with. And I know Rodney, who owns Nutribullet, very, very well. They stuck by him. Now, I don't know if they're still with him or not at this stage, because he has been out of the loop. I'd be interested to see, but I actually just figured Ben had retired. So I'm surprised he's in this lineup. I just think Xavier, I think he's been out of the loop for a little bit too long.
He's not on the official list, but I have seen this posted on a few forums that he will be doing the show, and I saw the progress pictures, so yep. I assume he's in. Obviously, John De La Rosa isn't on the official list either, but he's definitely in. Yep. But Daniel Toth, I don't know if you know this guy, Mick, but he's a guy from Hungary, and he is one of these European guys that packs a lot of muscle and comes in really good condition. Perhaps not the best shapes, but, I mean, his shapes aren't, you wouldn't say they're totally ugly. Do you know this guy?
I don't. Actually, no. Never even heard the name.
He competed last year. He did a lot of European shows and was placing... He did some tough European shows and was placing 6th and 7th. And I think he came over and did a couple of shows in America where he placed about 5th and things like that. So yep. he never really cracked that real top group. But I think he's got potential to actually do that. And before he actually turned pro, he was being touted as going to be one of these guys that's from Europe and is massive, is going to take over and, you know, absolutely kill people. And, you know, once he got on a IFBB pro stage and was up against the likes of Tony Freeman, he kind of, you know, you saw the shape discrepancy there. And, you know, obviously Tony Freeman has a phenomenal shape and you could kind of tell that's where his downfall was. But this is a guy that I think could actually do some damage in this lineup when there isn't the crazy big names in it. You know what I mean? I think we're going to have guys placing ahead of him. But I think someone like that can actually make a bit of a name for themselves here and place top five.
Yeah, I'll have to have a look at his name when I get back to the list and Google some photos of him.
Yeah, so I'm surprised you haven't heard of him, but he did do a lot of the smaller shows last year and was out of that top group, so be easy to miss him. But yeah, another one on the list is Jeff Long. This is a guy, he's actually not on the official list as well, I don't think, yet, but he's definitely doing the show apparently. I mean, Jeff Long, his issue is always his conditioning, like Fred Smalls, a little bit like Arn Wynn lately. Jeff Long has a lot of muscle. Do you think that he actually has the physique that could do damage if he comes in condition?
If he comes in condition, yeah. Jeff's got a great, like, massive legs, hasn't he? Because always improving, seems hungry. It's just that conditioning, and we still haven't seen it nailed 100%, but, yeah, he's another one. If it's nailed, he could seriously do some damage, but it's obviously that if is a major factor. So didn't George Farrar was looking after him at one stage, wasn't he?
I'm not sure. I'm just trying to think, actually. I know he had one of the big prep coaches, so yeah, it might have been George Farrar.
Hopefully. You know, I'm a big fan of Jeff. I like, you know, his Facebook and stuff like that. But yeah, we'll wait and see.
Yeah, there's no other real massive names in the lineup. We've got Keith Williams, who was a guy who came second. I think it was like five or six times in the
national. Wasn't he a retired NFL player?
Yeah, he was. He got drafted, and I think he played a couple of years. And then I'm not sure if it was injury or what happened that actually got him out of the NFL. But he may have obviously been 2 or 3 years. I think it was about 3 years in the NFL he spent. You know, if you're on, you know, a few hundred thousand dollars a year, like $300,000, you know, you're going to make $1 million in America, which is quite a lot. So he made, you know, a bit of money, obviously, in the NFL, and now he's doing bodybuilding, and I don't think money's an issue for him. So he did it for the love of it, and he actually got his pro card at the Masters. I'm not sure if one of the Masters comps in America, so it was over 40s, I think. But he's obviously an IFBB pro, and he has done kind of almost better as a pro. You know, he's come in condition every time and placed, you know, in that 5th to 10th mark. Possibly in this show, he could be top five. I mean, he's one of these guys that, like I said, always in condition. And if you get, you know, a lot of these Arn Wins and Clarence DeVises and Fred Smalls and whatnot coming off, then I think he could actually place top five. So, but outside of that, Mick, I don't think there's anyone else that's really going to make a big impact. So let's do some predictions. I'll go first because I've got the list in front of me, so it's a bit easier for me. I'm going to predict, I'll go from 5th to 1st. So in 5th, I'll say Clarence DeVise.
Yep.
In 4th, I'll say Daniel Toth. In 3rd, I'll say Fred Smalls. 2nd, Justin Compton. And 1st, John De La Rosa.
Oh, man. I've got John first, no doubt. I need the list in front of me because I keep forgetting the names.
You got Fred Smalls. You got Justin Compton there.
I'm going to put Fred second.
Yep.
I'll go Justin third, only because I just want to mix it up with you.
Yeah.
I don't know that other guy that you've mentioned, so I just can't picture his physique in my head, so I can't put him in the top. Yeah, I can't put him in there. I'm just going to have to go top three.
Yep. Your Arn Wynn, Clarence DeVries.
Oh, shit, Arn. No, let's slot. I'm going to give Arn a break here. I'm going to slot Arn into third and Josh into fourth.
Josh.
Clarence DeVries into fifth.
Who's Josh?
Sorry, what's the Colton guy?
Justin.
Yeah, I need all the viewers. I'm sitting here trying to drive and do Skype and also text at the same time, which I guarantee that's illegal, but I'm trying to focus.
Breaking all the rules. But yeah, that's it for our preview of the 2014 IFBB Europa Show of Champions in Orlando. I'm looking forward. RX is going to be covering it, and initially it's just going to be Dave and a few others going out there to cover it, but Chris Aceto is going to be out there now as well, so we're going to have the all-star cast there, and they're actually going to do a wrap-up video that's going to be live
on
RxMuscle.com, so I'm sure when they're doing it live, I don't know if they'll be able to, actually, with Johnny Styles, actually, they'll probably be putting pictures up, or maybe even video while they're doing the wrap-up video live on RxMuscle.com, so make sure you tune in for that. The wrap-up video will go up as soon as it finishes live, so if you're on the play-by-play or whatever, then just jump over to rxmuscle.com straight after, and they'll be up. So that's exciting. They're also going to do a preview show as well, so tune in to rxmuscle.com for that too.
Here's some trivia for you. When we were talking in that segment, and you mentioned Milos Sakharov's old forum. Who was the first IFBB pro bodybuilder to ever get a bodybuilding forum up and running on the web when it came about?
Which IFBB pro did you say?
Which IFBB pro was the first person to ever get a forum up and running on the internet when it started?
I'm trying to think. Maybe... I don't know. I'm just going to take a wild guess. I'll say...
This bodybuilder who never shuts his mouth.
King Kamali?
Sean Ray.
Oh. Well, what was his forum?
It was just under SeanRay.net, and he had his website, and then he had his forum on there as well. Wasn't a lot of people on there, but I used to click on there. We're talking, it may have been up and running around 98, 97, something around then. And I used to click on all the time just to see if there was any updates.
Oh, I remember actually my first bodybuilding forum I went on to. It was actually my gym's forum. And it mostly had a few Tassie guys on there that competed and whatnot. And then there's a few people from around Australia on there as well. And every Saturday, I used to go out and train at this gym, whose forum it was, called Extreme Physique. I used to go train at that gym and then just go home and then just sit on there and update it every about 20 minutes. wait for someone to post.
I've just pulled over to the studio, so I'm going to sit in the car now. Here we go. All right, I'm good now.
Very nice. But yeah, I remember just how funny it was that you'd sit on a forum and just update it. And now it's like there's too many things on a forum, you just skim through it every day.
Yeah, I'd do the same. Refresh it every 5 minutes, there'd be nothing. Refresh again, nothing. And just waiting.
Oh, it's unbelievable, isn't it? What we used to do. And now, like, we've got so many options online in terms of
watching. You're just confused.
Yeah, you just watch training videos. Yeah, you got articles. You got Facebook where you can just go up and down. That's the thing. Back then, I don't think Facebook or MySpace were around, so... That was 2006 or so.
There was nothing when I think I said this story before on this show, but back in the day, to get the Olympia results, I used to ring up, because I was on the Gold Coast, you ring up the Gold Coast Archers Gym, speak to Roy Rose, who used to be one of the most famous MCs in Australia, who would always ring Gold's Gym America to get the results, and he'd write them up on the whiteboard.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Oh, we've come a long way.
Yeah.
We've come a long way.
Yeah. We're spoiled these days, really. Yeah.
There you go.
But we've got a fair bit of news, actually, so we're going to go through it, I suppose, reasonably quick, because I don't want you sitting in the car probably overheating up there on the Gold Coast. But
right now.
I was actually messaging back and forth with Luke Chembry the other day, and it sounds like he's kind of getting back, you know, like full-on back into his training and adding some size on and stuff, and he's going to actually go for, I think he's going to, you know, go for the Arnold Classic Australia invite in 2015. Which is, you know, he said, I'll see how I go, you know, or, you know, see if he gets an invite, try his luck at it. But it kind of brought up the question in my head, Mick, like, who, you know, just say all the Australian IFBB pros put their hand up and they've only got to pick three. That's got to be pretty tough to actually pick three out of you know, because it sounds like from talking to people, you know, they're not just going to let every Australian in there, because I think every Australian would put their hand up to compete in the Arnold Classic. Yeah. So I mean, who would you be picking? Like, because there's, you know, there is about five or six guys that would put their hands up, I think.
It's a tough one, isn't it? I mean, jeez, now you got Joshua's just, he obviously was the highest placed Aussie in the last pro show, wasn't he? And then you got Timsy right behind him. But then you've got, yeah, that's tough, man. I don't know. I'd have to sit down and look at all the names, and you'd have to think who's got the realistic, not realistic chance, but who's obviously been staying in good condition and size, because obviously it's a few of the pros the last couple of years, Aussie pros have dropped off a little bit. You'd have to think Timsy's right up there. Yeah, Shomri's probably up there. I don't know, mate. That's quite tough, actually.
Isn't it? I mean,
I'd hate to be the one who would be coming about this decision.
Yeah, because it's a lot of Australian pros are pretty much on par with each other. I think two, I'd definitely have him there, would be Ivan Sadek, and I'd have Luke Shembri in there as well.
Shit, I forgot Ivan, yeah.
Yeah, because Ivan Sadek has, I mean, he finished fifth in the Australian Pro a few years back, and he's got a realistic chance of doing, I think, very well if he can nail that size and condition together. But then you've got Luke Timms, obviously, who's placed well as well. But the reason I say Luke Shembri is because he's just got that following, and he's an exciting physique to see. He's very well put together, and if he doesn't have that 212 limit on him and he decides to pack on a bit more size, then he's going to be exciting to see on that pro stage.
Yeah, but think about all this too, mate. There's no doubt Timsy's a great bodybuilder, and we've seen Timsy when we're at the Western Suburbs, and that was mind-blowing then. He showed loyalty for years in Tony's show. I mean, is that something you look at too? Do you go, and not saying he's not a bad bodybuilder, because he's damn good on his day, he could really bring it, but do you sit back and go, you know what, Luke's really put his hand up and been in the Aussie Pro whenever he could, he's done shows overseas, you know, do we give Timsy a chance? Do you know, do we put him in there from that?
Yeah, that's true as well, because by the sounds of it, and by what we've seen in the past as well, it's not always the highest ranking bodybuilder that will get the invite, you know what I mean? So they always want that, you know, in the past it's been they've wanted, you know, someone from, you know, a lot of different bodybuilders from different countries, but obviously that's not a factor here. And we'll have a few Australians in there. So it sounds like as though, you know, it might be partly popularity, partly where they're ranking as a pro. And like you said, with Luke Timms, it might be that he's put his hand up every year and supported Tony's show and been that Australian pro in the lineup, I think, every year now. So
he's put his ass in the line. So what we'll say our top four would be Luke Timms, Ivan, and Joshua, you reckon?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, I'd love to say Abe in there as well, but just based on what we saw this year, it was, Luke Timms and Josh Lenardowicz were clearly ahead of Abe.
Fuck, so then out of that top four, you got to cut someone from that. I'd hate to be making that decision.
Yep, same here. I'd be hate to be making
that decision. Yeah, that's a tough one because we know them all personally too, and I'm sure that whoever's making the decision knows them personally as well.
And for the record as well, I don't know it's going to be three. It might be two, you know, so...
That makes it even harder.
Who knows what it will be, but yeah, it's going to be rough for whoever doesn't get the okay, because obviously we're used to just having whichever Australian pro wants to compete in there gets to compete in there, but it's going to add a bit more prestige to the show, and obviously, you know, how they go in that show. If they do really well this year, next year, sorry, when it's on, then it might help them for the following year to qualify again, but if they don't do too well, then they might open up for another Australian, so it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, exactly, mate. Yeah, mate, either way, I can't wait to see it next year. I'm so pumped to watch that. Even all the amateur divisions, everything. It's exciting now. It's getting pumped up now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm very, very excited for it. But let's move on. Let's talk about something else. Let's stay on the Australian scene. We're going to have a pretty impressive Nationals this year by the sounds of it in the under-90 and probably the under-100 and probably the over-100 class as well, because Sam Pearce, from what I've heard from you, is going to be moving to the IFBB.
He is, yep. He confirmed that with me in the gym the other night. And we all know Sam made a very successful showing last year as a junior, and I can tell you from looking at him now and seeing him train, this kid's put on some serious size. And kept his shape. So very, very small waist. He's been putting muscle where it needs to go. He's not fat by any means. Sam's young. Sam's hungry. And he could be shaking up the older boys, I'll tell you now.
Yeah, he's impressive because, you know, he's a taller guy as well, isn't he? Like slightly taller than most?
Yeah. Oh, I'm just trying to think what he'd be. 5'11"?
Yeah. So in pictures by himself, like a lot of those guys that are, you know, 5'10 and above, they don't look as impressive in pictures by themselves. But when you get his weight off him, and it's like, holy shit, you're a heavy dude and you're in condition.
And so
he actually is, incredibly impressive. And in person as well, when we saw him on stage at the Southerns, you know, he looked a lot bigger on stage in person standing next to someone rather than just by himself. So, he's going to be exciting to see. And they're going to have, Andy Bell, who will be in that under 100 or over 100 kilo class. I've heard Logan's name thrown around as well. It sounds like these classes, probably Adam Dowling in the over 100. There's going to be a lot of good guys, I think. So,
exciting. This was Aaron Pilates put a status up the other night actually about this and tagged all these guys in for the end of the year shows, and every one of them pretty much got on there, and they're all doing it. Chris Jenkins as well, he'll be over. Vulcan, who trains under Luke Timms, he's in as well.
Yep.
Adam Dowling got in on it, so there's a lot of names doing it. It's gonna be an impressive year to watch again, mate. And my heart's with Logan as well. I mean, Logan's three-time runner-up now in the IFBB Australia, and he's the only one out of our group that doesn't have an Australian title. So come on, Logan, you've got to get one, man. You've got to get one.
He's got a few seconds, hasn't he?
He's got 3 seconds now. Three. Oh. Three heartbreaking seconds for him and also all of us that dearly want him to win, mate. And if he just put his heart and soul into it, he would kill everyone. I'm telling you now. His genetics are up there. He just needs to put his heart and soul into it. So, Logan, if you're here listening to this, don't ever take that to heart, because we will tell you to face. Just put your head down and just go for it.
Yeah. It generally is the ones with the worst genetics work harder. So when you've got blessed genetics and you don't need to work as hard, sometimes it just makes it easier, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sometimes, yep.
Yeah, so hopefully Logan does do it and he absolutely kills it, because I've actually seen some pictures and stuff, and some of those seconds it looked like he could have easily been a first, so.
Yeah, they were toss-ups. I mean, nothing taken away from any of the winners, because all these winners, he went up against Andy Cunningham one year when he made an epic comeback. He got second to the Russian guy. Fuck, I know him, with Gentech. He hasn't competed for a while. Victor.
Victor Dimitri or something?
Victor Dimitri. He got second to him. And the other second place he got... Shit, I can't remember the name now. Actually, it might have been the Australasians just last year. He actually didn't place. I'm just trying to think. But it was another top name. So it's not like he's been beaten by guys that are crap or anything like that. He's been beaten by guys that are very, very good. And he's held his own against them. So,
Yeah, exactly. So I have seen the lineups he's competing in, and they've been tough lineups. So.
Yeah. And we've got to get Logan on the show. I'm sick of asking him. Come on,
yes,
Logan.
Yes.
On the freaking show.
I'll send him a Facebook message pressuring him into it.
Yeah. Did you talk to Benny Townsend on?
Yeah, I've interviewed him. Yep.
Awesome.
Yep.
All right. Well, there you go, Logan. Benny's on. You got to be on. Come on.
People will listen to this have obviously already heard Benny Townsend's interview, but that was a good one. It was good talking to Benny, actually, as well. I got to have a good chat with him before the show. And he sounds like a pretty down-to-earth, solid guy. So
I think Benny needed this because, like I said, he inboxed me last week about it and the show and that. And I think Benny needs to stop hiding away as much. Not hiding away, but not doing much social media-wise or things like this. He needs to get his name out there, because if a pro card is what he wants, and obviously it is by doing the pro show, you need a good following and you need the backing of sponsors. And the only way you're going to get that is by social media.
Yeah, well, we did see a couple of photos come out leading up to a pro qualifier, like when he was with Luke Timms in the gym and stuff. So there's a few photos, but yeah, I'd like to see a bit more of it from Benny.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah, we had a few international stories come out through the week. And one of the stories that we saw posted on one of the forums, Nick, was Neil Hill in a seminar saying Flex Lewis's dosages and what he uses. And he said he doesn't use any more than 1,300 milligrams a week, which is pretty interesting because, I mean, obviously you and I both know a lot of amateurs around Australia using a hell of a lot more than that.
Yep.
And, but I have heard actually from another IFBB pro who I won't name. He said he was, shocked at the dosages and had seen this kind of stuff. So, and what he'd done and stuff, and said it was extremely low. He didn't say the amounts, but, firstly, Mick, do you believe it?
I've got no reason to doubt it. If Neil Hill said that, he's got no reason to lie. I know personal bodybuilders around Australia that are extremely good and massive. And I'd like to think that I'm that close with them and that good of friends with them that when they tell me they're on smaller doses, I believe them. So there are guys out there, mate, there's plenty of guys out there with obscene genetics. And I remember I've trained with Charles Glass many times when I'm at Golds, and I ask Charles about certain questions like that. You know, are the pros really on this amount? Do they take all this? And Charles just looked at me a few times and said, mate, you'd be surprised what some of these pros, how small their dosages are, because their genetics are so good. Their receptors pick everything up so much better than normal people. You look at Lance Armstrong when he used to race at the top of his career, and the test they did on him, his lung capacity was twice as big as anyone else's. With or without drugs, his lung capacity was so much better. You know, he was taking in more oxygen and utilizing it better. Same with bodybuilders. Their receptors pick up gear so much better. I mean, I'm sure there are guys out there that abuse the hell out of it. But I don't know, mate. I'm still that way of thinking, that there are some genetic freaks out there that use barely anything and just get by with it.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. And like guys like, what's his name? Flex Wheeler. When they did that test and it showed he had like no myostatin inhibitors and stuff, and just things like that, like, you know, and the story I heard from Milos, I think Milos told me personally, he said, you know, they did a test on Ronnie, they did a test on everyone, and Flex Wheeler was the only one that had this deal going on. So, and he said as well, he said he trained Flex from like, you know, being 215 pounds or 210 pounds or whatever it was, and being, he said, just fat and skinny. And he said it's being 245 pounds or 250 pounds and a lot harder. So it's within, like, I think it's like 3 months or something as well. So yeah. He said it was just amazing. And he said Flex didn't train hard. Like, he didn't enjoy training. Same with Kevin Lavrone, actually. Kevin Lavrone has told people he just didn't like training. Didn't enjoy it. So it's kind of funny that you hear from a lot of these guys that they just don't like training. Even Vince Taylor, who I interviewed last week, I think it was, he said, you know, now he just doesn't really enjoy training that much. I mean, he just does it to be fit and whatnot. So
yeah,
it's pretty interesting hearing that from a lot of these legendary bodybuilders.
Yeah. I mean, hear that. Sometimes you just don't know either. Sometimes they might just say that off at one seminar. The next seminar, they change their opinion again. Who knows?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of these. There's a few of these pros that maybe do a lot of seminars, a lot of interviews and stuff, and they just kind of get bored of the same answers.
Yeah, they just change it up every seminar. Yeah, I eat chicken. No, I don't eat chicken.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's one of those things that you hear thrown around, and I mean, it's hard to believe, because some of these guys you hear extreme amounts, and then you hear something low, relatively low on his level anyway, like that. So it's, I don't know. It's something that's kind of, you know, I guess we'd never know, really.
I guess, you know what, none of us are ever going to know anything unless you live with this person 24 hours a day, see what's in their fridge, everything. I guess you just don't know it. And we hear it around here too, like, he's using such and such, she's using that, but I guess none of us really know.
Exactly. It's like people that say, oh, they know this is a this conspiracy theory is real on this thing and whatnot, and then, you know, no one really knows, you know what I mean? Like, unless you've got, like, you know, some real solid information, then you don't know.
I'd love to know. Like, you hear people all the time going, oh, fuck, I might use a name, but I know such and such is using 20 IU or growth a day. How do they know this?
Yeah.
Like, do they sit in their house and watch their fridge and just, okay, wait, and they go, okay, yeah, he's using that. Like, I don't know. I don't understand how people know these things for a fact.
Yeah, exactly. But let's speak about someone who actually is kind of putting something out there, and that's Mr. Olympia Dorian Yates, who kind of, I mean, he's pissed a lot of people off by a Facebook status he put up with a video that basically saying the Holocaust, where, you know, for people who don't know what that was, is basically where concentration camps where a lot of Jews were killed in, you know, quite a while ago. And he was basically saying it was a conspiracy theory, which, I mean, I think to most people that sounds ridiculous. Like, you know what I mean? Because a lot of people have relatives and stuff like that that were killed in the Holocaust. So, I mean, he's pissed a lot of people off, Mick, and he put up on Facebook, and Dave Plumbo even commented on there, and, you know, there's a lot of, I mean, it's been posted on a lot of forums and stuff now, and, I mean, this isn't smart by Dorian if he wants to, you know, maintain his fans and get people buying his products still.
I don't know what the hell he was thinking. Was he off his head? I don't know, man. Like, and at first when I heard it, I thought, oh, it's got to be a fake account or someone's hacked his account, but no, apparently it was his account and he did it.
It doesn't surprise me based on the interviews I've seen with him, like the recent ones anyway. Like,
he's been pretty controversial about things, hasn't he?
Yeah, and he talks about using a lot of like experimental drugs and stuff like that, like hallucinogenics and stuff like that. So
I do remember one time in Vegas, which year? 2003 Olympia. And I was in a nightclub with a mate of mine, my cousin, and I'll never forget Doran walking in. Everyone just stopped. It was Doran Yates. And he had this big black sunglasses on. He had all these fitness chicks around him. He just came straight to the bar. And I was just in shock. I was like, that's Doran Yates. And I kept saying, that's Doran. He's just standing at the bar. And it was just funny. Big black sunnies on. He just looked in another world. Big does. But anyway, so he obviously experiments in a lot of different things. And I just can't help but think, a comment like that, can it really bring his business down? Like, I mean, there's a lot of people that reacted to that.
Are they still going through Flush?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just wondering, because I remember how much hype there was around, you know, the Doran Yates brand and stuff a few years ago, and it seems like it's died down a little bit.
He came to Flush, brought him out, and he did the tours of so many supplement shops and seminars. Now, I was managing ASN on the Gold Coast at the time, so we set up a massive seminar for him here, and Flush were kind enough, knowing that I was a big fan of bodybuilding and Doran, that the next day they set up just a breakfast with me and Doran and one of the other guys I work with, Anders. And we sat down and had breakfast. There was just us three. That was it, for about probably an hour and a half. And the times I've always spoken to him, that was obviously the most personal one. He came across as a really nice guy. I never, until this sort of post he's put up, never thought anything different of him. But yeah, his products came out, they came out with a bang. Working in the supplement shops at the moment, I know they're not in as high a demand as what they used to be. His pre-workout's still not too bad, and his fat burner is not too bad, but his proteins and that were way overpriced. But yeah, definitely not how it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I remember everyone was posting up things about, like, you know, if someone said, I'm struggling to sleep, everyone would post up, try Doran Yates JH Blast. And
yes,
you just see all that stuff just posted everywhere on Facebook and whatnot. And now it seems like it's died down a lot. So I don't think this is going to help his cause either. So,
not at all, mate. People are funny like that. They'll read something like this and that's it. People can easily turn and they'll wait. There's many other companies to deal with. So, you know, like, someone could just go, okay, bugger him, we'll go somewhere else.
Yeah, and you know what? It might not just be the consumer as well. It might be also I suppose the people in supplement shops that buy stuff. I mean, just say, you know, you got some relatives that, an ancestor and stuff that died in the Holocaust, you're going to say, well, fuck Doran Yates' brand. I'm going to get this one.
Yep. And Heinz, he could feel the heat. You never know, and be like, well, we don't want to import that anymore.
Yeah, you never know. So this could have big implications, or it might have, you know, very little. So who knows?
But
we had Phoebo. I think that was just over the weekend, Mick, and we had a few guest poses we want to talk about. The first one's Dexter Jackson, where he looked absolutely sensational from what you've told me.
He looked nuts. I was just on one of the forums yesterday, just going through some stuff for us to talk about today, and it had Dexter guest posing at Phoebo, so I jumped on there and had a look, and he's in excellent condition, which would be in the middle of his off-season, because he hasn't competed since the Olympia. You could see his abs and his obliques clearly. There was no fat on him at all, and he looked very big for Dexter, so... Man, what is he, 44, 45? I can't see Dexter slowing down any time in the next year or two. He's got some more comp wins in him.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. He can, I mean, if he wanted to, go on a tear and win a lot of these smaller pro shows, he could quite easily do that. But, I mean, I think he's got to be smart and hit the Olympia and hit the shows after that, because there's a lot of them this year.
Yes.
And I think he'll rack up a lot of money. Or what would you do? Would you do the Olympia and then have some time off and try to get another Arnold Classic title and break the record?
I think he's going to hit those comps hard, and then I think he's going to go into the Arnold next year as well.
Yeah, because he obviously took the Arnold off this year, so I think he might be lining that up.
Yeah, he could be the next Albert Beckles.
You never know. I mean, how old's Dexter now?
I think he's 44, 45, and he's not slowing it. Apart from a couple of years ago, he just had that off two or three shows, like for him off. And then he came back with a vengeance. And he's obviously smart now, too. He's realised that, you know, after the Olympia, he'll take... Because he had a massive year last year. He took the whole year off so far, and it's paying dividends, mate, because he looked impressive. He was... have a look at it and see what you think. I was very impressed.
Yeah, it's about 1 to 1.5 years where he's just not nailing it. Like, he wasn't like he was terrible, in terrible condition or anything, but he just wasn't in that Dexter, real sharp condition. It looked like almost he's losing a little bit of size in his legs, and maybe his legs still aren't what they quite were, maybe. But, I mean, it seems like they almost came back a bit. Like, his legs came back a bit. He filled out a little bit more, and he got harder. So,
yeah,
him and George Farah and him and Charles Glass are doing, it's definitely working.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, we also had Ronnie Coleman guest posing, which... You were saying he should just not do it anymore, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's... Well, it was him and Jay Cutler, and they both got their clothes off. Jay still looks good, but he's a very, very smaller version at the moment. He's really cut down. And then Ronnie... I mean, it's hard because he obviously still loves the sport immensely. You can see that. And he has no issue with himself that he's lost. You know, he's not the Ronnie of old. We all know that. But, you know, he obviously doesn't care. He takes his shirt off, has a pose. Crowd still loves it. But I guess, you know, like if I was in that situation, I don't know. I don't know if it's something I could do.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I wouldn't be able to do it, I don't think. But, I mean, yeah, maybe like, you know, maybe you'd hit a few bicep shots or something like that, you know, with your shirt on. With a tank top on or something like that, but I don't know if I'd be taking the full kit off. And obviously, you know, Roddy Coleman's a legend. He can do whatever the fuck he wants, basically. Yeah. Just from our point of view, we probably wouldn't do it.
Yeah. But no offense, Ronnie, if you're listening. And I'm sure he is too, like Dennis was last week.
Yes, I'm sure we're all listening. I remember, actually, this is quite funny. This is when I had my old website, like back, you know, about three years ago now, actually. It was when Dennis Wolf got that really funny haircut, and it was like almost like a little mini bowl cut or something. It looked real funny. And Joey and I, this is when I recorded with Joey on the radio show, and we were laughing about it. We were having a joke on the radio show, and it was pretty funny, actually. Like, we actually thought it was quite funny. We had a few people tell us it was pretty funny. Yep. And then we was in Doherty's gym, I think, a week or two later. And we're sitting in there, and Dennis Wolf's sitting in there, like a table away from us. And Joey was convinced that Dennis Wolf had heard it.
Oh, God.
He said, he's fucking giving us dirty looks. He's giving us dirty looks. And he's stressing out, and he's like, he's almost wanting to get up and run out of the gym.
Oh, Joey.
It was hilarious. He was here.
I love him.
And Joey was a lot younger at this time as well, so it was pretty bloody funny. I actually went up to Dennis Wolf and talked to him, and I don't think he'd heard it.
Yeah. Oh, God.
But I actually think he fixed up his haircut as well before that show, so within a few weeks. I think that's when he did the Flex Pro, when he wasn't meant to do it.
Oh, okay.
Was you at that show?
No. Oh, that's the name of the comp. Remember I was talking about a couple of, when Lionel Benerke won it. It was the Flex Pro, that's right.
Benerke. Oh, that's not how you pronounce it.
Yeah, but you know what I'm like. that was 2012, that's right. Yeah, I was over there for that one. So it must have been the year before.
Yeah, must have been.
The year before that.
There's all that controversy around it where he wasn't meant to do it. He wasn't going to do it, but then someone, I think actually Aaron Singerman from RX, he came out and basically said, you know, Dennis Wolf is going to pull out. And then it basically, I think it forced him to do the show because he signed a contract. So that was interesting. But Mick, we've got to wrap it up. I don't want to leave you sitting in your car all night. I just want to mention, I want to encourage everyone out there that's listening that enjoys this show, go out and check out Girls Dig Muscle Radio. You can download it on iTunes. You can find it on rxmuscle.com.au. And the last episode, we had Sam Bernard, who's going to be switching from IFBB Pro Figure to IFBB Pro Bikini. And we had also Alice Round on there as well, who's a WA Bikini competitor as well. And she's actually quite... she's actually done sports science and studied a lot of quite... studied nutrition and stuff like that at university. And she's got a few degrees and whatnot. So she was actually really interesting to talk to and... about what she's done with all that kind of stuff as well. So two great interviews there. I encourage everyone out there to go listen to it. That's on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. But Mick, I just want to give a shout out to our sponsors. We've got Gripped Fitness Accessories. We've got ATP Science. We've got My Muscle Chef. Their orders close Tuesday night at midnight. We've also got International Protein, Mass Nutrition, 40 stores around Australia and New Zealand, and of course, Species Nutrition, the main sponsor of Aussie Muscle Radio. So, Mick, that's it for episode number 101 of Aussie Muscle Radio. And remember, with Aussie Muscle Radio, the truth hurts.
Yeah! Aussie Muscle Radio is a presentation of RX Muscle Australia, the truth in Australian bodybuilding. Visit rxmuscle.com.au for all the latest bodybuilding news, videos, contest coverage, and so much more. Tune in next week at this same time for another round with Xavier Wills and Scott Goble, only on Aussie Muscle Radio.